Welcome to Under Lock and Key, news and commentary about prisons from the Revolutionary Anti-Imperialist League and the Maoist Internationalist Movement.
The Attica brothers settle their suit, and America murders more prisoners. And Mamia Abu-Jamal discusses the police murder of MOVE members.
The U.S. incarcerates a greater percentage of its population than any other country, sending more black men to prison than college. The purpose of this program is to educate about and inspire activism against the American lockdown.
After more than 25 years of legal battles, the Attica brothers' suit has reached its final stages, even as prisoner strikes and rebellions continue throughout America to regain the privileges for which the Attica brothers died fighting. America has reacted to these struggles not with compassionate reforms of the prison system, but with more brute force and political repression. The American criminal injustice system is a tool of imperialist control enforcing national oppression and submission. MIM at times works to improve immediate conditions prisoners face, but we maintain that it is not possible to gain lasting reforms or justice under the current system. The only means to end prison beatings, rapes, and torture, and inadequate prison facilities is through fundamentally changing the power relations in America through Maoist revolution. The Attica settlement awards the Attica brothers $8 million plus $4 million to pay for legal fees. The agreement does not force New York State or America to admit fault in the 1971 Attica massacre that left 43 dead and more than 80 wounded. Guards continue to abuse and kill prisoners. On January 12th, two jail guards pleaded guilty to killing a prisoner last year in Nashua County, New York. The guards fatally beat Thomas Pizzuto, who was serving 90 days for traffic violations. The guards now admit that they planned to attack Pizzuto before entering his cell, but claim that they had not intended to kill him, so they want manslaughter charges with only a 3.5-year sentence instead of murder, which would carry a 30-year sentence. MIM does not spend time organizing for the sentencing of pigs convicted of crimes, as most of their crimes never reach the courts. Yet the handling of pigs' crimes reveals another repulsive aspect of American prison. When a guard accuses a prisoner of rules violations, it is the guard's word that is assumed true. In the rare cases of indicted pigs, the pigs are still assumed to be truthful. Hence the all-out acquittal of Diallo's murderers in an Albany County court. In the case of the Nashua guards, until the week of their trial, the guards vehemently denied ever beating the man. Only after other pigs who had watched and covered up the fatal beating testified did the two pigs admit their actions. In Florida, a guard has been charged with the murder of a death row prisoner. After the prisoner's death in July, the Florida State Prison suspended 9 guards. The guards originally said the prisoner threw himself off a bunk bed. The medical examiner said the prisoner had been beaten to death and there were boot marks on his body. Recent reports have revealed that the California Youth Authority guards have continued abuses similar to those exposed at Corcoran 2 years ago. As Mimnos reported at the time, Corcoran prison guards set up prisoners to fight one another for guard entertainment. At the youth correctional facility in Chino, investigators found that guards set prisoners up to fight, beat handcuffed prisoners, threw prisoners into cells with urine and feces on the floor, forcibly injected them with psychotropic medications, and shot them at close range with 37mm riot guns. The Los Angeles Times also revealed last fall that Stanford University violated state law when it tested psychiatric drugs on dozens of teen prisoners. A guard murdered another prisoner on December 27 at Angola's Louisiana State Penitentiary. Angola's main concern after the murder centered on tougher security to avoid escapes. Just like Attica, Pelican Bay's prison had its own turkey shoot. On February 23, Pelican Bay guards opened fire on prisoners, wounding 8 and murdering 1. Prison officials have completely locked down Pelican Bay, worsening its already repressive conditions. The shooting came on the same day that two former Pelican Bay prison pigs were indicted on federal civil rights charges for allowing guards and prisoners to attack disliked prisoners. The previous week, another Pelican Bay pig was convicted of violating a prisoner's civil rights by shooting and wounding him. Pelican Bay State Prison is part of California's immense prison industrial complex. Built for 2,280 prisoners, it now warehouses 3,400 prisoners, at least 1,200 of whom are permanently locked down in the notorious security housing units. Prisoners in this security housing unit are caged for 22.5 hours in windowless white cells, alone or with only one other hostage. The prisoncrats claim that it is only violent prisoners who are housed in the security housing unit. However, we have investigated and know that many prisoners who are locked down because of their political beliefs, as well as Geronimo Gijaga. Prisoncrats claim that the turkey shoot at Pelican Bay was the necessary means to stop a prison riot. The pigs claim that prison gangs were fighting one another. Even if this is true, nobody died during the fight, but guards killed one prisoner breaking it up. Furthermore, conditions in American prisons promote despair, anger, and violence. As noted above, guards often create conflicts between prisoners to better manage them. Guards are afraid of the power inmates have when they unite. They know that prisoner rebellions, such as the one at Attica, are an inevitable outcome of human beings being locked down, overcrowded, tortured, and dehumanized. America should expect nothing less than the continued prison rebellions under such conditions. Unfortunately, prisoners do not have a right to organize. Starting on December 24th, New York State pigs locked down two prisons to prevent prisoners from striking. The lockdown, in this and in most cases, meant pigs confined prisoners to their cells for 23 hours a day. Prisoners have been planning strikes in 8 prisons, attempting to bring attention to rigid state parole policies. In America, prisoners do not have the so-called right to organize peaceably. In fact, prisoners are punished for organizing even their own educational groups, let alone peaceful strikes. This demonstrates one of MIM's repeated criticisms of imperialism. There are no rights, only privileges that protect the interests of the bourgeoisie or victories won for the masses through struggle. As New York pigs shut down prisoner demonstrations against unjust conditions, a federal judge negotiated the Attica settlement. Originally, the almost 1,300 Attica brothers filed a class action civil suit in 1974 asking for $2.8 billion. The final settlement was $2.792 billion short and will most likely be distributed among the few living prisoners by the end of the year with an average amount of about $20,000 each. The Attica brothers fought for their basic needs and privileges. The prisoners' demands included an end to prison slave labor, freedom to be politically active, uncensored access to publications and mail, open communications with the outside world, a healthy diet, freedom to practice religion, modernized education, adequate medical attention, and genuinely rehabilitative programs within the prisons. For this, prisoners lost their lives or were tortured during the New York State Troopers' retaking of D Yard. The mainstream media admits that Attica shed light on the abuses and unfair treatment of prisoners throughout America, but the coverage depicts Attica's demands and the brothers' minimal gains as things that are taken as a matter of course in American prisons today. Some of their demands were met, but most prisons throughout America have rescinded those gains. The 2 million prisoners throughout America have a lot to organize against: increased sentence lengths, summary punishments by Gestapo guards, inadequate medical care, slave labor, denial of education, and the brutality of the guards. MIM advocates that prisoners strengthen ideological unity against prison oppression and imperialism while seeking legal remedies to prison injustice. Though MIM knows that some battles cannot be walked away from, whenever possible, it is best to adhere to draconian prison laws and regulations to avoid an intensified state crackdown. The only genuine way to end the American lockdown is through the abolition of American imperialism itself. For that task, we need warriors alive with sharp minds.
In a few moments, we will bring you a commentary by Mumia Abu-Jamal. Mumia is a Black Nation revolutionary fighting for his life on Pennsylvania's death row. Mumia was framed for the murder of a police officer because he is an outspoken opponent of American imperialism.
The muted public response to the mass murder of MOVE members has set the stage for acceptable state violence against radicals, against blacks, and against all those deemed socially unacceptable. In the 60s and 70s, the Black Panther Party defined a relationship between the police and the black community as one between an occupying army and a colony. The confrontations between MOVE and this system's armed domestic forces has given that claim credence. In an article in the Village Voice in 1991, quoting an anonymous white cop giving his prescription for bringing law and order to Los Angeles, consider the following. Cop 1. You want to fix this city? I say you start out with carpet bombing. Level some buildings. Plow all this shit under and start all over again. Cop 2, Christ, you drop a bomb on a community? Cop 3, oh yeah, there'd be some innocent people, but not that many. There's just some areas of L.A. that can't be saved. The twisted mentalities at work here are akin to those of Nazi Germany, or perhaps more appropriately, of My Lai, of Vietnam, of Baghdad. The spirit behind the mindlessly murderous mantra that echoed out of Da Nang, we had to destroy the village in order to save it. As abroad, so here at home, for as the flame smothered life on Osage Avenue, police and politicians spoke of destroying the neighborhood surrounding the move house in order to save it. Now, cops patrol neighborhoods across America armed like stormtroopers with a barely disguised urge to destroy the very area they are sworn to serve and protect, or perhaps we should say sever and dissect. As they sit and sup and smoke, what animates their minds? Are they an aid to the people or a foreign army of occupation? May 13th, 1985 should have answered that question decisively. MOVE founder John Africa wrote over a decade ago, "It is past time for all poor people to release themselves from the deceptive strangulation of society. Realize that society has failed you. For to attempt to ignore the system of deception now is to deny you the need to protest this failure later. This system has failed you yesterday, failed you today, and has created the conditions for failure tomorrow. For society is wrong. The system is reeling. The courts of this complex are filled with imbalance. Cops are insane. The judges enslaving. The lawyers are just as the judges they confront. They are Harvard and Princeton and Cornell and Yale and trained as the judge to deceive the impoverished, trained as the judge to protect the established, trained by the system to be as the system, to do for the system, exploit with the system, and MOVE ain't gonna close our eyes to this monster." Unquote. From John Africa's Judge's letter. It was true then, it's even truer now. This system has failed all of us. Indeed, it is the problem. Organize this very day to resist it, to oppose it, to go beyond it. Demand that all imprisoned MOVE members be released and all political prisoners be freed. That is a beginning. That is a first step we can all take today. On the MOVE, long live John Africa. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
A prisoner in New Jersey writes that gang units repress political education. I just finished reading mem notes for June and July, and I see where someone had written in about the Security Threat Group unit in Northern State Prison in New Jersey. I was one of the first prisoners grabbed off the yard in January 1990 to be held until March of 1998 when the unit opened up. On March 4th, 1998, we were shipped here from all over the state. Most of us did nothing except belong to what they called a gang. But to us, it's political education to fight the abuse that these pigs use on us. They hold our mail for 2 to 3 weeks before giving it to us, and when I was expedited to South Carolina in July of 1998 for a parole hearing, they took a large amount of money out of my account and stole my radio. This is one form of their abuse on us. Cold showers and cold food are another. They try to make us give in, but I, for one, am stronger, for my eyes are open to the abuse they put on us. I will continue to fight for prisoners' rights, even if I have to spill every bit of my blood. I'd like to say De Corazon to all my brothers. A New Jersey prisoner, July 27, 1999.
This has been Under Lock and Key, a revolutionary anti-imperialist league and Maoist internationalist movement program about prisons. For more information, contact RAIL, P.O. Box 712, Amherst, Massachusetts 01004, or email radio@mim.org.